this spring, make some money at the races. Turf Catering is now hiring servers, cashiers, cooks, and other positions for the Keeneland Spring Meet. For an immediate interview, attend the Turf Catering Job Fair on Tuesday, March 20th from 1 to 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center at the Man of War and Versailles Road entrance across from the airport. For more information, call Turf Catering at 253-0541. Attend the Turf Catering Job Fair Tuesday, March 20th from 1 to 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center.
Vidalta's a proud citizen finished 1-3 in the Allen Lacombe Memorial Stakes at the fairgrounds last Saturday. Ms. I.D., a 3-year-old filly bred by Bert Richard and Elaine Klein, overcame a wide trip to register her third win in 5 starts. She won a maiden special at Churchill last fall and has won 2 in a row at the fairgrounds. Citizen Advocate set most of the pace in the Lacombe and was beaten less than the length for second. She won 3 stakes as a 2-year-old in 2011 at Calder, Presque Isle, and Delta Downs. Proud Citizen is the sire of 7 stakes horses already this year. Believe You Can, yet another 3-year-old filly by Proud Citizen, won the Grade 3 Tempted at Belmont last year and the $120,000 Silver Bullet Day Stakes this year. It Happened Again won the Grade 3 Razorback Handicap last year and has placed in the 5th season stakes at Oaklawn this year. And Mark Valensky, three on the Derby Trail, incidentally, was second by nose in the Grade 2 Risen Star. Proud Citizen, America's bargain sire. $7,500 live foal with possible breeding incentives available at Mr. and Mrs. Brad and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Check the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Well, good morning on a pretty sunny morning here at the Thoroughbred Center. At
Happy St. Paddy's Day.
Oh, what now?
Happy St. Paddy's Day. Oh. Not good morning. What's
I see you wearing green this morning.
I got so much green on, I look like a salad. All colors, yeah. All of it.
All shades of green.
All shades of green. Right?
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, let me try it again. I've just been interrupted once already, and we just started.
Well, you should be used to it.
I am used to it.
All right. Good man.
All right. Well, we're here at the Thoroughbred Center in the Clocker Stand, and beautiful day, sunny day, kind of a busy day. Got 35, 40 work, something like that. Not that many. I don't know why. It's been real light all week. Track's great. You know, there's nothing wrong with the track at all.
That's Harold's fault.
Yeah, damn Harold.
Right.
Anyway, what are we doing today? Well, Bill Whitman, manager of Calumet Farm, is going to stop by. I haven't had anybody for Calumet out on the show for years now. The last person I had on the show from Calumet Farm was Maggie Glass.
And that's been a long time.
So I told Bill he's in good company. And
Maggie always showed up wearing her dress.
Her silks.
Silks.
Yeah.
Her silks.
Calumet silks.
Calumet silks, yeah.
Devil's red and blue with the hoops. Blue hoops. Yeah. Same silks. Anyway, so he's going to stop by. They've got a couple of new studs over there. It made the news when Calumet got some studs. They've got Cactus Ridge and Icebox standing over there.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It's
been a long time since they've had. I used to breed over there. I sent a mare to Tim Tam many, many moons ago. Son Again. Bred to him. He was $1,000. He was right up my alley.
Is he the one that had such big foals?
No.
No? Were they crooked? I remember.
Mine was.
That's what I thought.
All right. Well, Dr. Doug Byers and Michael Blowen will stop by. They should be here momentarily. I may have come out of this vest.
I know. All of a sudden, it's warm.
I know. Is the heater on or something over there? I don't guess so. Anyway.
Sun came out.
We'll get Steve Moody to come on. He's from BRIS, of course, Bloodstock Research Information Services. And he'll give us a winner down at the fairgrounds today. We're still reviewing 1958. I'm going to finally get around to it, I hope. The champion 3-year-old of the year was Tim Tam, who, of course, won the Derby that year, won the Preakness also, and broke down into Belmont. That was the last of him, but he did go to stud, and I bred to him. I just mentioned that over there.
Yes, you did.
That probably killed him because he never sired a whole lot.
That's why he was $1,000.
No, that was Son Again.
Oh. Okay.
He was a little bit more than 1,000.
Oh.
Yeah. It was somebody else's mare. I spent somebody else's money.
You teased her, and you got her over there, right?
Yeah, right. If I have a chance, I read a little Joe Palmer, and we've got, of course, as always, Jackie's announcements. And we've had a pretty good doggone month so far this from the training center here through the first 16 days. What's today, 17th? Yeah, through yesterday, we've had 27 winners and 14 since the last show. So that's 14 winners in 7 days.
Ooh,
that's good. That's a twofer. Twofer a day.
That is.
I wish I knew who they were going to be so I could bet on them, but you know me.
You don't bet. You can't win if you don't bet.
Yeah, I know, but I break even. let's see. Let me tell you who the winning trainers were. Adolfo Marcias, Mort Shirazi, who was on the show last week, John Paul Puchek, Steve Casey, Tracy Young. Tracy's got the swimming pool over there, you know. For horses, not people. Mm-hmm. Although I guess they'd let people swim in it, too.
Well, I wouldn't swim in it.
Why?
What if the horses poo-pooed in it? It'd be like swimming in a little baby pool. Look.
And swimming in a baby pool?
Yeah. Get serious.
As many stalls as you've cleaned out, for crying out loud.
I'm not swimming in it. I'm cleaning the stall.
Okay.
Yeah. Rassie said it's really warm.
Okay. Alan Krupper saddled the winner. Brian Kane, Brian Michael, Marco Castaneda, and Bonnie's doing better, incidentally.
Oh, I heard. Yeah. I heard she was, yeah.
Yeah. Bonnie was injured. The horse went down with her at Turfway and was severely injured, but she's coming along.
That's great.
John Langemeyer, Brian Kane won another one. John Langemeyer ran another one. He won two down at the mountain, with one with Daddy Said and another one with Karma's Coming. A.T. Tommy Skinner won last night at the mountain with Harlan Street, and Brian Michael won another one, at Turfway, with West Side Singer. So that's 14 winners in 7 days from the Thoroughbred Center.
That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. The record so far, I think one day last fall, we had 62 winners, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, that's right, for the month.
Yeah.
We doubled the month, like 31 days, and we had 62.
Yeah, it was something along those lines. So that's what... is going on right now. Jackie, you want to do an announcement, too? Kill some time until the boys get here.
He talks in its golden words of wisdom, and I do my announcement. You want to kill some time?
Well, that's what you're here for.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Oh, are you in trouble? Okay.
So what else is new?
Yeah. At the horse park, the popular Road to the Horse, in quotes, comes to Kentucky. World-renowned trainer competition to determine the world champion of colt training. Now, when they call all foals and horses, they don't say filly. The cowboys say colts. They're all colts.
Everything's a colt.
Everything's a colt. And, you know, I didn't know they had that problem.
They got a lot of sorrels, too.
Yeah, sorrels and colts and jogs. Anyway, it's coming. So that's a real nice thing. You know, that's another coup for the horse park. So that's going to be pretty good. They'll have it in the Alltech National Horse Show ring. It's such a great facility that they get big-time stuff. Now, Masterson Station Park is having several events coming up. I'm going to get to that. March the 18th, that's tomorrow. Masterson Equestrian Trust Jump Painting Party. 9 o'clock, show up at 9 o'clock and help them paint the jumps.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Well, you know, maybe somebody will bring some beer. Who knows?
Well,
I don't know. If you're interested in helping, call Shelley Ryan. It's nice that people go out there and use that. If you want to help pay back, that's a good idea. Shelley Ryan's at 224-3411. Now, March 24th, Buffalo Trace Mounted Patrol Clinic, April 6th through 8th is the Spring Bay Horse Trials. That's a big deal. And April 14th and 15th is the Masterson Equestrian Trust Benefit Show. Call Ari Vanderheiden or 588-5021. If this is too much to remember, Google Masterson Equestrian Trust, Lexington, Kentucky, and it will pull up the calendar. And then I'll be doing the calendar.
No, I'm going to interrupt you.
Oh, okay. Interrupt me.
All right.
See if I care. Fill some time.
We're putting
some
that
time
over here for. Oh, that's okay. The number one ranked sire in North America is Tappet, son of the Claiborne sire Pulpit, and one of Tappet's most successful sons, Trapshot, is standing his first season of stud this year at Claiborne Farm. Trapshot won over $703,000 in two seasons, taking home the winner's share of the purse in six of his 12 starts. He won the Grade II True North Handicap, getting six furlongs and 108 and four. Won by 8.5 lengths, sprinted 6 furlongs and 109 to take the Waldoboro Stakes, won the Long Branch Stakes around 2 turns. He got 7 furlongs at Belmont and 122 flat, won an allowance test at Gulfstream by over 12 lengths, broke his maiden at Gulfstream by 10, lost a nose decision in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt, and he was a game second to Looking at Lucky in the Grade 1 Haskell. Trapshot was a runner. He's by a leading sire, and he's a half-brother to Grade 1 Stakes winner and millionaire Miss Shot from a superior female family. Stands for $10,000 doing the full stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, and see the website at claibonfarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, the average start of a Sky Classic earns nearly $80,000. That's the second highest average earnings per starter among all sires standing for fees in the $10,000 to $12,000 range. Sky Classic have sired over 100 stakes horses, 59 stakes winners, 6 champions. So if you're breeding to race, look to Sky Classic. And if you want to black type your mare, look to Sky Classic. Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic stands for $10,000 live foal at Pin Oak Stud. That's the home also of Bob and John, Broken Vow, and Cowboy Cal. The first foals with Bob and John raced last year, and he's the sire of 23 winners, 2 stakes horses. A Grade 1 stakes winner of over $996,000. Bob and John is by seeking the goal, and he stands for $7,500 live foal. Broken Vow is the sire of Geminator, recent winner of the John B. Campbell Handicap at Law. He's also the sire of 23 stakes horses in 2011, including the multiple Grade 1 stakes winner, Sassy Image. Broken Vow by Unbridled stands for $25,000 live foal. Cowboy Cal is a multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire by Giant's Causeway, and his superb first crop yearlings are sure to attract attention. He stands for $7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens, and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, this guy says the horse...
All righty, Jackie, back to you, and I see Michael Blowen and Dr. Doug Byers on their way up here.
That's tardy, as
usual.
Well, Dr. Byers...
Tell Michael to take those muddy boots off before he comes in here.
Why? Speaking of Dr. Byers, West Liberty Vet Clinic, for those of you who want to help with the damage done to West Liberty by the tornado, there's a West Liberty Vet Clinic, 606. It's all over there, 606. 743-3776. Talk to Dr. Fugit, and of course, what happens with these things is you have something happen like that, and everybody jumps up, and then a week later, everybody's forgotten it.
Yeah.
You know, and so we'll probably get an update from Dr. Byers about how that's going. You know, with Michael blowing his hair.
Came right in, latched on to the racing, you want tomorrow's racing form, too?
Yeah, you got tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got today and tomorrow.
Where's tomorrow's? Because you called me and
right
said
there,
yeah,
Sunday.
Oh, I asked for Saturday.
The one that says Sunday.
No, he said Sunday. He said Sunday. He just didn't remember.
He's got Saturday's answer.
Got Saturday's answer.
I like the service here. This is fabulous. And, you know,
it's because you're too cheap to buy your own racing form.
It's $7.50. I can't afford it anymore. I got to go beg for pieces of it. I go, are you using that part right now? Can I borrow it for a minute? I wander around Cleveland with a cup.
No, the thing to go at is go out for the last couple of races and look in all the trash barrels.
You know, that's a good idea. I like this. It should be on the Keeneland High. Enjoy your day at the races.
I was down at Gulfstream many years ago, and I was so flat broke, I had $5, and it's supposed to last me about 3 weeks. And it'd been a rough month in more ways than one. Anyway, I was walking back to where I was staying, and
we don't even want to describe that.
Well, it was a trailer.
Formerly a trailer.
Anyway, so I cut through the grandstand, and it was the last race coming up, and I dug a program and a racing form out of the garbage can there, and handicapped the last race, and I says, I might as well start starving now if I'm going to. I bet $5 to win on a horse, and he paid $18.70.
Oh, that's fabulous. Yes. Yeah.
I went out and had a steak that night.
Very nice. Very nice. And that's what keeps him coming back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah right. All right, Michael, what's going on with you?
Well, we'll start with the bad news. We lost Fortunate Prospect.
I read that.
Day before yesterday, and thank goodness that Dr. Byers lives so close by, because he didn't suffer very long, very much. So.
Yeah, he was 31, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
31 years old.
531 winners he sired.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
531 winners. Huh.
Yep. That's almost as much as... Oh, never mind.
Yeah, don't be knocking a sponsored
I'm
horse
sorry.
Or something.
I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness.
I was dreading the next words to come out of his mouth.
Yeah,
I tell you.
Yeah. So that was too bad. But, you know, he did live till he was, you know, 31, and we had him for 7 years. So
was
resident.
Out there that long?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the oldest resident?
Now?
At Old Friends
now? Clever Alamont.
Clever Alamont.
Yeah, he's 30. O'Gijin's 29, so.
Now, he looked real good last time.
Yeah. Well, Fortunate Prospect looked pretty good, you know, last few days. He looked fine. I mean, you know, it just happened very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, just hard stop or, you know.
No. I mean, you walked in the stall and he's blowing with his nostrils and his head down below his withers and he's sweating and, you know, you take a look at that. It takes you about a nanosecond to say, this is bad.
Yeah.
This is bad. So his heart rate was about 100. I did a rectal, and I felt a couple of loops of intestine that were in the wrong spot. And I just told Michael, I said, you don't need to put this horse through anything.
No, not at that age.
Yeah, and, you know, and he was one of those horses that had a pituitary adenoma tumor, you know, the Cushing's.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They don't heal. You know, it just wouldn't have. Wouldn't have been the right decision to play heroics.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just what
Michael happened. Was ready to play heroics, so he said, "You know, if we need to do something, we'll do it."
Yeah,
but
if it was a matter of just getting them, you know, it wasn't a matter of the money or anything. It was just a matter of what to do that was best for him.
Best for the horse. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and that.
Well, I'm sure that you'll feel that stall immediately. Well,
I'm hoping Dr. Byers lives longer than me, so he can come over to my house and go, oh, I'm sorry, he's blowing a little hard. His head's below his withers. He's got the Cushing's. If he had any hair, it'd be curly.
I don't think you and I have to worry about Cushing's. The little hairs we have.
I hope he can come over to my house at the appropriate time.
Yeah. Well... If Diane hadn't killed you by now, Doc will, huh?
Yeah. Get in line.
There are some days that I think about it.
Yeah, I bet you.
Get in line. Get in line.
All righty.
But we're planning this really great event in Midway. It's going to be on Friday the 13th of April, and it's going to be a celebration of old friends' opening up a 120-acre farm, leasing it from Rob Macklin and his wife Missy over on Weisenberger Mill Road, and we have some great retirees over there. So
already, huh?
Yeah, and each of the stores in Midway is adopting one of our horses.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And does that mean they're going to help feed them?
That means they have to build 70 more stores.
Yeah, we're going to actually bring the horse down to the store. No, we're not going to do that.
You're going
to
the population of Midway downtown is going to double.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, each one of them has adopted a horse. They've all selected their horse. Like Crittenden, who owns the nice men's shop there, has Black Tie Affair for obvious reasons.
Oh, I didn't know there was a men's shop over there.
Oh, it's fabulous.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really good.
It used to be one.
I don't think you can get a mustard-colored corduroys, but, you know, I think they got everything else.
Well, hell, they're just behind the times then.
I know. You know, he does set the fashion trend here in the Clocker Stand. I've noticed that.
I bought a... when Jackie and I got married, I bought my wedding suit over there.
Oh, yeah?
Did she ever tell you about that?
No.
Yeah, what did I have to pay for that damn suit, Jackie?
$300.
$300.
Wow.
Well, this was, how long we've been married now, 30 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I paid $300 for that suit. Man, that was hurting me, I tell you.
Wow.
And
still have it?
Yeah, and it still fits.
That's amazing.
And anyway.
That's why I feed him these lines.
Anyway, we were driving home, and I was fussing and fussing about this paying $300 for a suit. And Jackie said, well, my goodness, you're fussing about buying that suit and everything. That's, what was it I said now, Jackie? What?
You said...
Said
I never pay.
Oh, yeah. Says, you're fussing so much about that suit, says you... Think we never, you know, we've never been married or anything like that. And as I've been married before, we've never paid $300 for a suit.
Well, it's amortized over the 30 years. It's only $10 a year. That's pretty cheap.
Yeah, you prorate that suit. And that's pretty
exactly
good.
Right.
I haven't worn it since.
That's farther. Right.
Yeah. Last time I went to church and they kicked me out.
Well, you can wear it to our special celebration in Midway.
Yeah, there you go.
On Friday the 13th. And my friend Frank Santarelli, the guy who played Georgie the bartender on The Sopranos.
Yeah, well, I met him.
Yeah, he's coming to do his comedy again.
Oh, good, very
because
good.
Because he did announce the last time he was here that his whole career, he's been in comedy for about a quarter century, and his whole career was leading up to performing in Midway, the entertainment capital of the world. So he's really excited to be back.
Well, where is the party that's going to be at? We're in Midway now. It's going to be at Old Friends, of course. But
yeah, but Midway. We're going to have the party right next to the theater at the 8:15, prime 8:15.
You know, I haven't been over there to Midway in a long time.
Yeah, come on over. Beer's improved too. A lot of good beer places now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good.
They got my favorite beer on.
Yes.
Tap. Yeah.
Yep, Sam Adams Lager right there. It's a great goose. They got it in bottles at the Prime. They got it all over town now. It's very cosmopolitan. It's the entertainment capital of the world.
Is it?
Yeah. Got to have good beer. Going to be the entertainment capital. Hey, and my loser came in second.
Okay.
18-1. But the problem was the winner was 3-5.
Well, how much did we win?
2-5. The exacta came back $18, and the trifecta came back $42.
Okay. How much did you invest?
I only invested a couple dollars. I was like you. I was ready to go through the garbage. I didn't have by that time, my investment capital.
Maybe that's why they call it handicapping. Handicapped handicappers.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
That would definitely be me, you know. Yeah.
We had a guy that worked at the Globe that used to bring the wire copy around. His name was Gary. I won't give you his last name. I think he died a while back. But anyway, he was a stupor at Suffolk Downs. And one year he told me he made $18,000 just picking up tickets.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He came to the, when he went to the track, he never brought money. He said, I'll just bet what I can pick up. So he never lost any money ever at the track. He's the only person I know who never lost money at the racetrack.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
That he came with. So
how do you pick up money at
Well, people. Well, what
people
happens?
To pick up good cards.
Yeah.
Throw good tickets away.
They drop them.
Sometimes the horse you bet gets scratched, and you're not paying attention, and all of a sudden, it's a gold mine.
You got to have good eyesight, or a good pair of glasses, and a good back.
Yeah. And a patient clerk.
All right.
He'd bring a stack of 250, 300 tickets up to some poor clerk, and
yeah,
clerk would have to sit there throwing them all through. That's what he did. So that's how Gary made his money, and he was a legend at the Globe for that.
Well, let me interrupt you and pay some bills here. Then we'll get Doc on.
Great.
All right. Well, every year, the Thoroughbred Times asks a panel of experts to name their top five picks for who they think would be the year's leading freshman sire. This year, both Kenny McPeak and Ann Peters named First Defense among their selections. One of the nation's leading trainers, Kenny selected a number of prospects at auction that have gone on to become Superior Stakes winners, including the champion Curlin. Ms. Peters, a freelance bloodstock consultant who earlier served as matings advisor at Three Chimneys, has the distinction of having selected last year's leading freshman sire, Scat Daddy. Both like the fact that First Defense had brilliant speed, grade one speed, and that his female family has already produced successful sires. Kenny also likes the first crop yearlings that he inspected at sales. As a reminder, First Defense won grade one stakes. He was one of the fastest runners of his age. He's bowing bridal song out of grade one stakes winner Honest Lady, a half-sister Bossiattle Slew, to the outstanding sires Empire Maker and Chester House. He stands at Judmont Farm for 7,500 live foal, home also of the grade one stakes winner Mizzen Mass, and grade one sire, of course. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmontfarm.com. All righty, I want to talk a little bit about my friend Tom Biederman. Went to his website, that's biedermanbrokerage.com. He's got all kinds of listings on there. Be glad to list your property if you're thinking about selling. And if you are, he's the guy to go with because he's the guy that gets the job done. And also, well, look at this. 1342 Georgetown Road in Paris. I might buy that one myself. Doc, why don't you buy just $3,700,000?
You could split it.
That's not Griffin Farm. And it's really a fine farm over here. He's raised a lot of nice horses over there, mm-hmm. Jim Fitzgerald. He's got two farms, you know, Jim has.
Right.
And I think he's selling this one, keeping the t'other one. What are you looking for, Jackie?
Next door.
Oh, next door. 3160 Paris Pike, Lexington, Kentucky.
It's right over there. You can almost see it, can't you?
Right. Oh, it's right over here. Yeah, right behind me. 37-acre thoroughbred training facility. You can train right here on this wonderful track at the Thoroughbred Center. And it's got a lovely house on it. Really a great barn. I mean, it's really finished to the nth degree. Very, very good. And let's see. He's got farms over in Jesmond County on one Sugar Creek Pike over in Nicholasville. It's on, here's a place on Greenwich. That's another neighbor, 313 acres on Greenwich. He's got all kinds of good places, Tom has, in his... He's one of the top, if not the top, real estate salesmen in the area because he knows what he's doing. And let me give his number, 277-2030. And once again, his website is Biederman, Biederman, brokerage.com. And let's see, what have I got coming up next after Tom Biederman? Are we going to do something for Mr. Pope McLean? Three of the top 20 leading contenders for... this year's Kentucky Derby on the Daily Racing Form's Derby Watch or Giant's Causeway, and that, of course, includes Creative Cause, whose stock is sure to move up after his score in the San Felipe last Saturday. Noble Causeway, a young grade one performer of Giant's Causeway, stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. His first foals raced to two last year, and he has 10 first crop winners, including a stakes winner and two others that have placed in stakes. And they're winning at tracks where the purses are good. The Fairgrounds, Monmouth Park, Calder, Delaware, Tampa Bay, Parks, Hoosier, Delta Downs, Golden Gate, wherever they're asked to run, and over every type of racing surface. Noble Causeway, in addition to being by a champion sire, is out of the hard-hitting race mare Mimi's Golden Girl by seeking the goal out of grade one winner Classy Cathy by private account. Your inspection of the Crestwood Stallions is invited. Just get in touch with Pope McLean, Phil Hager, or Robert Keck. Number over there is 252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
I'm heading down the highway, had the gears running all
time. Buddy, I want to talk to Dr. Doug Byer right now. Let me get back to church. You go to Mount Horeb?
No.
No?
Well, C&E credits. Christmas, Easter. Susan goes religiously, and she criticizes me for not going, but I always have a
something else I need to do.
So she gets double virtue points, doesn't
yeah,
she? If
she
you
does.
Don't go.
She
See,
does.
She
yeah.
collects all the family points.
Yeah.
Works
yeah.
out good.
All the vets' wives go to church, and the vets never go to church because, oops.
Now, there's a survey we'd like to see. I think they ought to publish that in the AAP Bulletin.
Yeah.
That's a nice little church. Jackie and I were
it's
married.
A great
Jackie and I were married there.
Oh, yeah. Really? You were the guy in the nice suit.
Yeah, right. That suit. You want, hey, you want to see that seat? I'll bring that suit out here next week. Where
yeah,
see
fabulous. I think you should dress in it with the tie. And
I think Dwayne Lucas got married in that church.
Is that right?
Which time?
Well, I don't know. But
well, you could have said that about me, too.
No, it's a great little church, and George Moore is the pastor. Great guy. Mm-hmm. Great, great guy.
I tell you what, though, I don't know if they let me back in there since a little buddy of mine fixed the Easter egg hunt one year. We didn't take us. We were about 9 years old,
uh-huh.
and they had a first prize and a booby prize, and just two prizes. And it didn't take a genius to figure that out. 9 year old could. So I gave Jimmy Hutchins was all my eggs, and I had one egg, and he had a whole big bunch of eggs. And he got the big Easter egg basket just full of chocolate and everything. And I got a yo-yo. So,
for being one,
Jackie says.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, well, his chocolate's probably all gone by now, and you're still playing with yo-yo.
Yeah.
No, Jackie's the one playing with the yo-yo.
Yeah. Oh, ooh, careful there. Well, what's going on, Doc? What's our topic today?
Well, I went to a social event last night at a farm and ran across Dr. Pumphrey as usual, you know. And
all over you, huh?
Well, just with that drawl, you know. Well, really enjoy listening to that program. Of course, I asked him, I said, well, what did you think of last week? Oh, I was busy, couldn't get through it. I didn't get to hear it. So, anyway, I said, well, give me a topic. And he develops a blank face. And his wife, Allison, steps up there. And, of course, immediately, you know, well, how about transfusion medicine?
Oh, so, there you go.
Yeah. No,
perfect for you.
Yeah, right.
You should know something about it now.
But, no, Allison, she's a lovely lady, and she didn't really suggest that. But but anyway, I thought, well, we will talk about it because we've had a couple of transfusion emergencies. And there are a lot of things out there that people could be aware of and expect their veterinarian to be aware of.
Yeah. Do they have a blood bank for horses?
No.
No?
No. The blood bank is usually a gelding, so they haven't had exposure to other. And he's usually an AQ negative, which are blood types. They are the most compatible. They're not completely compatible. There is no universal donor in horses. But these are the least likely to have a reaction when you transfuse from them. And they are extremely rare to find, to have them. So when these clinics get a hold of one, they value them quite a bit. And I think I told you the story. We happen to have two of them. One was my own quarter horse. When Purcell Ensign was bleeding out, and we transfused her and successfully, and she came around, and so
how old was she at the time?
Oh, I don't know, 13.
Okay,
something like that.
She went on and had other foals.
Yeah,
very good.
Yeah, but no, she got a hole torn in her uterus and was bleeding through the uterus, and of course, tissues like the uterus. The lung, they secrete an enzyme that dissolves clot called plasminogen. And plasminogen is what is blocked by Amicar for your EIPH horses, which is probably not a very good medicine to give to those horses because, you know, we know now that EIPH horses are blood clots in the lungs, microclots.
Uh-huh.
So you don't want to stop them from dissolving. You know, because we want the tissue to remain healthy, so or get it back to recovery. So, but anyway, if you have a AQ negative donor, that's your blood bank, and horses have, now this is the big scheme, about 400,000 different blood types. Now, there are, it all narrows down into about a dozen that are actually compatible to incompatible. So there's a lot of blood types that you can get away with. But again, you go back and you have an AQ negative horse. So how much can you get from him? Horses, the blood volume in a horse is 8% of their body weight. So if you got a 1,000-pound horse, you got 80 pounds of blood. So if there's 8 pounds to a gallon, you've got 10 gallons of blood that is in that donor's circulation. And you can easily take 20%. If you take 30%, you might put him into shock. So you get, again, 20% is the regular amount you would take, which in your liter bottle boils down to about 8 liters that you can give to a recipient. Now, cross-matching that blood is when they say, well, we got to cross-match him first. Pretty tough to find a donor with your cross-matches, but you got two types. You got what's called major, where the red cells that the donor is giving are checked against the plasma of the recipient. And if there's a reaction there, it could be a major reaction because all those cells are going to get destroyed because there's antibodies against them. And then there's a minor reaction, which is just the opposite, the plasma of the donor against the red cells of the recipient, but the plasma of the donor gets diluted in the recipient. So it's less of a reaction, but that's the main thing they look for. So they'll go out and test a lot of different horses. So that way you can give a certain amount of volume of blood to something you're going to need to do. Now, if you've got a situation, let's just say you've got a broodmare that's bleeding, and you know it's going to cost you $200 a liter for blood, and she needs 8 liters. And so you'd say, well, I'm going to get my veterinarian to put a tube in her belly and collect her blood and put it back in her vein. And that's called auto-transfusion. So she's got a pool of blood that you actually can go in there and get. Had a foal this last week that had a fractured rib that lacerated his lung, so he bled into his chest cavity, and he went into shock. So pulled the blood off the foal's chest and gave it to the foal IV, and then went for surgical repair of the rib.
Huh.
So that's called auto or self transfusion. So that's one of the things you do. Another form of transfusion that we've talked about, I think, on here before, is if you've got an NI foal, neonatal isosclerosis, a jaundice foal, and he's needing a transfusion. He's less than 24 hours old, and he's blowing, and he's pretty pale, and his hematocrit is 10. So he needs some blood. Well, you run around looking for major, minor donors, and you spend a lot of time. And unfortunately, a lot of veterinarians do that. The donor's right in the stall with him. It's his mother. So she's got antibodies against his blood type, but she doesn't have antibodies against her blood type. Make sense?
Well,
you know, if she
had... snowing me, Doc.
if she had produced colostrum or antibodies against her blood type, yeah, she'd be just as jaundiced as he is.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
But her antibodies go through the colostrum. He gets it. And those rupture his cells. You either agglutinate or lice or rupture the cells as a type of a reaction. So you bleed that mare. Maybe take 4 liters of blood out of her. And horse blood is extremely unique. If you got it in some bottles, it settles in about 20 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes, down to the same, within 2 percentage points as if you took it to a laboratory and spun it. So it just settles. That's called the sed rate. And you know her plasma is not good for that bowl where her antibodies are.
Mm-hmm.
So you suck that off and throw it away.
Mm.
Okay? And we put saline in there. And that's called washed red cells.
Now we give the foal her...
You're not going to give me a test on this, are you?
No, we might try injecting some in a little later, so if we can make you a little more vigorous.
So now you give that foal her red cells. He's too young to have developed antibodies against her blood type. So what's he need? He needs red cells to stay alive, and hers are compatible with the reaction that's happening in his body. So they're safe.
Okay.
And you don't run around all day trying to find a donor.
All right.
So that's the point. Anyway.
I'll have to take your word for it.
It's a tough trail to follow, but it makes sense once it feeds through. And again, transfusion medicine has a lot of different ways you can do it. Like auto transfusion, wash red blood cells, donors, AQ donors, things like that.
Very good.
So that's what we do.
Well, sit still a minute. I'll take a break here. I want to ask you about West Liberty.
I want to give you a couple of
updates. Let me take a break here, and I'll be right with you. Okay. Well, Gypsy Robin, a 3-year-old filly by De Hare, broke her maiden in her first start, running in record time at Keeneland to win by over 7 lengths. Sent to England, she was beaten just 3.5 lengths in the Group 2 Queen Mary Stakes, then was back to this country for a 4th in the Grade 3 Schuylerville, that's at Saratoga, and a win in the $100,000 Sorority Stakes at Monmouth. That was her last start as a 2-year-old, but she's back on the work tab with trainer Wesley Ward at Gulfstream Park. Gypsy Robin is one of just 5 named foals from the first test crop by De Hare. One other has started and has recorded a 2nd at the Fairgrounds and a 3rd at Delaware. De Hare has been put to the test and has demonstrated his ability to sire runners. He was a runner himself, a Grade 1 stakes winner with brilliant speed. He's by the top sire Awesome Again out of the stakes winner Irish Cherry, dam also of the multiple Grade 1 stakes winner Spun Sugar, who is a full sister to De Hare. De Hare stands for 7,500 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. I want to talk about my good friend Ralph Quillen down at Quillen Tack and Leather down in Paris, Kentucky. And also happens to be Michael Blowen's good friend.
Good friend. Boy, when he opens that brewery, I think we're going to have to move to Paris.
Is he really going to open one?
Yeah.
Is he talking about opening a brewery in Paris?
Yeah.
Well, that suits me. I won't have to travel very far.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, we just sent in a big halter order.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the ways that we're raising money is that we're selling halters of our horses for $250 a piece.
Okay.
And we raised like $8,000.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good. So now we have to get the halters replaced.
What?
Ralph.
He's donating these halters.
Oh, Ralph. Ralph's painted. Somebody get the smelling salts. It's a long list.
Does he cut you a break? He cuts you a break.
Oh yeah, sure, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and he doesn't mind if we're a slow payer.
Okay.
He waits.
Yeah, well,
he's very patient.
Is he? Well, he knows.
Thank
where
goodness.
He knows where to find.
Thank goodness.
That's what that's all about.
And he's got great stuff. I mean, that you know, at the bottom of the deal, he just has great stuff, and it lasts forever.
Nice people in there. Fun to go in there. Mm-hmm. We've got a great gift shop.
Great gift shop. Yeah. All kinds of stuff in there.
It really
Ralph
does.
Looks around. He doesn't even know half the stuff he's got in there. He looks around. He goes, "Wow, well, this is kind of nice."
He's got good people.
Yeah, taking care of him. Thank God. It takes about 10 of them to make up for Sally.
I know. He's eating somewhere. He's on Facebook with Jackie, and he's eating somewhere different every night. He likes rock and roll.
Yeah, he does.
Ralph, you're getting a little long in the tooth for rock and roll.
But Jerry Lee Lewis is still out on tour. I don't think he knows it, but he is.
Well, anyway, it's a great tack shop, and I think they have tours go by there too, don't they? I believe they do during the tour season.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting place. I mean, to watch them, they hand-stitch all those halters. I mean, it's really amazing.
Well, they sell about 18,000, 19,000 halters a year. So that,
and then they give away a few.
Yeah.
to the deserving.
One number one freeloader over here.
Yeah, slow or no. Pain.
I've taken your dumpster diving to new levels. All I have to tell you that much.
Well, let me tell you how to find Quillen Tack if you're going into Paris on the Lexington Paris Road. You go to the 3rd stoplight and look to your left, and there you are. It's Quillen Tack and Leather, and it's QUILLIN.com. It's a great tack shop. Well, Hold Me Back won the Grade 2 $500,000 Lane's End Stakes, won the Grade 3 Dominion Day Stakes, ran 2nd to Summerbird. That's his stablemate at Windstar. In the historic Grade 1 Travers with the elusive quality 3rd, and 2nd in the Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes at Keenan. He was also precocious as a 2-year-old. Won his first 2 starts, the 1st at Arlington Park and 2nd at Keeneland. Now, hold me back is by champion sire Giants Causeway, the sire of two stakes winners this past weekend, including Creative Cause, winner of the Grade II San Felipe at Santa Anita, and, of course, he's a leading candidate for this year's Kentucky Derby. And Hold Me Back's Dam is a daughter of top sire Unbridled Song and champion Avowal from the family of Hall of Famer Tom Fool and a host of other superior stakes winners. Described by trainer Bill Mott as a fluid mover and an imposing individual, Hold Me Back's first foals are arriving this year. Stands for $6,000 when the foal stands and nurses. There's a 5% discount if paid by November 1. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett, Windstar Farm, 873-1717, and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
Run it by me one more time.
Dr. Doug Bauer, give me an update of what's going on down at Liberty.
Right. Now, first of all, you were confused by that blood stuff. You need to blame Allison Pumphrey for that. So if she gave me the topic, that's where we went. But anyway,
that's another reason all the women go to church and the men stay home. They're sick of getting blamed for everything.
West Liberty, amazing people. They are rebuilding as we speak. They know what a hammer is for. And I said to Dr. Fugit, I said, you worry about looting and things like that? He says, we don't loot.
Yeah.
He says, this is a community. And they're our most industrious. It's just amazing how much they've accomplished in such a little bit of time. Of course, it's going to be forever getting it put together. Horse-wise, Dr. Fugit has everything pretty much in order. I took in four horses from West Liberty at my farm. And most of their problems were flying debris injuries. And they're doing okay. Some abscesses secondarily and stuff like that I got to fool with.
Well, and what'd you get? Some mares and you said you got a stud.
I got a stud. I got a stud horse. He's he's a Rocky Mountain, and he's just quiet as he can be. He's got a corneal ulcer. It's healed now. But you could treat him. I could treat him by myself.
Oh.
He just go in the stall and just pull his lid down and medicate him. A couple of nice stories are out of there, and I think the public probably has heard some of them. Dr. Fugit had a Palomino horse at the clinic that was banged up and bruised, but not bad. And they found him in the kitchen of a house whose roof had blown off.
Oh, my goodness.
And the horse belonged 4 miles away. Apparently,
the fences are obviously down.
Well, whether they were or not, the fences were down. Most of the fences were barbed wire. But, they think it picked him up and dropped him in that kitchen.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And put him in the kitchen.
In the kitchen. The people opened the door to see if there were any survivors or anybody hurt, and they saw this horse looking at him when they opened the door, back part of the house.
That's unreal.
Yeah. Yeah. One way or another, he had to get picked up and lowered into that thing. He didn't open the door handle. So
wasn't that smart?
Yeah. Another kind of a feel-good story was that Dr. Fugit, we were driving around the countryside, and there was a collapsed barn. And he said, you see all that rubble over there? He said, we pulled a little Sicilian donkey out of that rubble, and he wasn't hurt. And belonged to a little 4-year-old girl that got him for Christmas.
Oh.
And they're in a shelter. They don't have any home.
Yeah.
And that little 4-year-old girl just worried sick about that donkey.
Yeah.
They threw the
Why don't you send it to old friends?
Yeah. They threw the donkey in the truck and took it to the shelter. And I guess it was an uproar or uplifting for everybody to see that little girl run up there. Have her donkey.
Oh, yeah.
So, great story there.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
The donkey became the pet of the whole shelter, right, Dr. Byers?
Yeah, they pretty much are caught up on everything. Dr. Fugit does not need help. They're very self-contained as far as the animals. They're going to adopt out some of the dogs if owners don't have places to take them. But otherwise, they're doing fine. Again, they won't ask for supplies generally, but people that take them stuff they need. Butler has
donated to them, and of course Sally's been wonderful. And
aren't they great?
Oh,
they're the best. They really are.
Yeah, they're taking stuff up there and hauling horses back, and you know that's expensive.
Gas prices and everything else. Are you kidding
me? When they brought those four horses, I think I told you this story, but the Dr. Fugit, I said, well, how bad are they banged up? They need to be in the barn? And he said, no, well, the one of them needs to be in the barn. The one with the, we pulled the timber out of her jaw. And so he said, put her in there, and then the rest, for you just put them out in the paddock. So we put them out in the paddock, and the driver says, you know, one of them is a stallion. And I said, well, there's two mares and a stallion, and we don't know who they belong to. Well, we have an idea, but, so they're mixed. And I called Dr. Fugit, and I said, well, you know, one of these is a stallion. I don't think we should have him running with those mares. He'd been running with them mares anyway.
Yeah, doing a little pasture breeding.
So, you know, so anyway, he said, just give them some prostate abortion shot in 3 weeks, and they'll be fine.
All right. Well, let me take another break here.
All right.
And get, and I'll say something to Knothead over here.
Nice. Really nice.
Another grade one winner and a classic contender. Malibu Moon's off to yet another outstanding year at stud. On March 1, Eden's Moon, a 3-0 filly by Malibu Moon, won the Grade 1 Las Virgines Stakes at Santa Anita. Then on March 10, Perspective, a 3-year-old colt by Malibu Moon, bred by B. Wayne Hughes, stamped his ticket to the Kentucky Derby by winning the Grade 2 $350,000 Tampa Bay Derby. Those are the type of performances which have moved Malibu Moon to elite status on the North American sire list. Remember that when you see a Malibu Moon walking to the sales arena. Another sire off to a fine start this year is Lionheart, the sire of undefeated Agave Kiss, winner last Saturday of the Grade 3 Sakata Stakes at Aqueduct. Lionheart is also the sire of Grade 1 Stakes winner Lion of David, and Lion of David's first foals, they're really nice foals, and they're arriving this year. Lion of David won the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby in his first trial on dirt after winning twice on the grass at Santa Anita. Beat a crack field in the Arkansas Derby. Super Saver, Dublin, finished second and third. And he descends from the same female family which has given us champion sire, Mr. Prospector. Stands at Spendthrift Farm for 7,500 live foal. Contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, and Ned Toffey at 294-0030. See the website at spendthriftfarm.com.
Make some money at the races. Turf Catering is now hiring servers, cashiers, cooks, and other positions for the Keeneland Spring Meet. For an immediate interview, attend the Turf Catering Job Fair on Tuesday, March 20th from 1 to 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center at the Man of War and Versailles Road entrance across from the airport. For more information, call Turf Catering at 253-0541. Attend the Turf Catering Job Fair Tuesday, March 20th from 1 to 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center.
Got a new sponsor, Equine Savings, and this is one you ought to really should listen to and pay attention to, because, you know, now's a great time to do your mowing. So take a look at the Equine Savings Program for your next mower purchase. Now, the Equine Savings Program, it's easy to use, doesn't cost you anything to join, saves you up to 28% off commercial mowing equipment from the industry leaders Toro and Exmark. That's 28% savings. Doesn't cost you anything to join. All you have to do is simply call Equine Savings, 877-905-004, to learn more about the program. You can also visit your local Toro and Exmart dealer, where you'll find a simple pricing program with one price for everybody. No coupons, no hassles, just the best mowers at the very best prices. Now, Equine Savings offers these products to all breeds and disciplines, so if you're in the horse business, they want to hear from you. Equine Savings also offers substantial discounts on a wide variety of quality products like farmpaint.com, the paint of choice at many of the top farms you drive by every day. Arbico for their organic pest control, that's remarkable stuff. It features predator flies that dine on the nuisance flies we'd all like to get rid of. And also Frank Shoup Auto Dealerships, Commonwealth Technology, Office Depot. There's one I'm going to check into myself, and SAS Global. Equine Savings is locally owned, gives back to the industry. What they do is every time that you sign up and you with them,
and through Equine Savings and everything, and they'll donate a little bit of whatever they make. That's Steve Anderson, by the way, really nice guy, to the KTA or KTOB, and that they donate to them to promote racing. So it's a win-win situation. Like I say, it's locally owned. I'm going to give you their website. That's where you go. It's equinesavings.com. And the local number, it's a 502 number because Steve lives over in Georgetown. It's 863-6000. And a toll-free number, 877-905-0004. It's, like I say, that's your toll-free number. Equinesavings.com. Check into it. You got nothing to lose and a whole lot to gain with Equine Savings. Well, Street Hero, let's see, where am I now?
Well, I'll say a few things about Steve. Wait a minute.
Oh, we're good. Okay. All right, Michael, you're going to say a few things?
Well, I was going to say, Steve Anderson's been very nice. He gave us a free lawnmower, Toro.
And they're great lawnmowers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He took one look at the lawn and said, well, you're going to need this year.
Yeah,
go get some gas.
Steve's a great guy.
He's a great guy. He's helped us a lot.
I first met him when he was with NTRA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was part of the buyer's program over there.
Yes, he was, and then he's put his knowledge to work. And a 28% savings on stuff, you know. And farm paint coming up, too, people are going to paint. And
I know. We have a whole bunch of girls from Ohio State coming next week. And
bunch of what?
Girls from Ohio State.
Girls from Ohio State?
Mm-hmm. Students.
Oh, wow.
And they come for a week every year to Old Friends and do whatever we want. They're going to plant some grass and paint some fence and do whatever
Ag
we can.
Students?
Oh, by the way, if anybody has any free hay, our number is 502-863-1775. That costs $1.50 for the ad department. But we have time for the loser of the week?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Well, do the loser of the week.
Well, this is a good one. His name is Fort Defiance. He's in the third race at Oaklawn Park today.
All right.
And he's Lee Rossi's horse. And I first got his attention because we had Academy Award at the farm, and he's out of an Academy Award mare.
Okay.
Now, this is a low-level claiming race, so, consistency is not his greatest virtue. But he's in for $7,500. Non-winners of three lifetime. And the significant part of this horse is he won a nice race. He won a $30,000 non-winners of two lifetime at Keeneland. So if Lee Rossi has him back anywhere near what he was in the fall, he should do very, very well here at double digit odds. The other neat thing is that he's got a jockey switch from Court to Vasquez, and ordinarily you wouldn't think coming off John Court is a good idea, but this Vasquez really fits the horse. And he's Lee Rossi's go-to guy. And one of the statistics that really jumps off the page at you is that during this meet, they've won 25% of the time jockey trainer, and the average payout was $1,862.
Aha.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's almost like the bet you made and, got to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My garbage can bet.
Yes, and he's made 9 starts at six furlongs, and he's finished in the money 5 times. So I'd use him with the 3, 5, 6, and 8 in the trifecta.
And you bet him to place and show.
Yeah, but I'm also going to make a small win bet on him just in case.
Okay.
I'm going to do that rare thing just in case.
Yeah.
And I wish they had a pick 3 because you could use him in the pick 3 and it would be fun. But anyway, Fort Defiance, third race, Oaklawn Park. I hope we get another loser.
Whoa. All right, Michael.
Thank you, Ursel.
Thank you.
Come visit us. It's a beautiful day. We've got some great horses out there. Come pet Gulch, feed them some carrots, and have some fun. Thanks, Ursel.
Okay. Well, Steve Street Hero won a place in 3 straight Grade 1 races as a 2-year-old, won the Grade 1 Norfolk Stakes, placed in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile, duplicating the record of his sire Street Cry, and Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity placing that, too. At year's end, Street Hero was the 4th highweight on the experimental free handicap. Street Hero, one of 14 Grade 1 stakes winners by his sire, stands for $5,000 doing a foal stands and nurses. And it stands over at Vinery, Kentucky. Bill, come on over and sit down. His first foals are raced this year. Your inspection's invited. And while there, ask about the state-of-the-art facilities over at Vinery, Kentucky, Vinery, New York, and Vinery, Florida. They can provide the finest care available for breeding, boarding, sales prep, sales, breaking and training, rehabilitation, bloodstock services. Vinery even offers a very successful racing partnership program. The number at Vinery, Kentucky is 455-9388. Just ask for John Gasper, Francis Rillahan, or Grant Williamson, or Steve Castanola. And check the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville studios, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville, where price sells cars.
This spring, make some money at the races. Turf Catering is now hiring servers, cashiers, cooks, and other positions for the Keeneland Spring Meet. For an immediate interview, attend the Turf Catering Job Fair on Tuesday, March 20th from 1 to 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center at the Man of War and Versailles Road entrance across from the airport. For more information, call Turf Catering at 253-0541. Attend the Turf Catering Job Fair Tuesday, March 20th from 1 to 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center.
Well, Daughters of Proud Citizen finished 1-3 in the Allen Lacombe Memorial Stakes at the fairgrounds Saturday. Ms. Ida, a 3-year-old filly bred by Bert Richard and Elaine Klein, overcame a wide trip to register her third win in 5 starts. She won a maiden special at Churchill last fall. She's won 2 in a row at the fairgrounds. Citizen Advocate set most of the pace in the Lacombe, was beaten less than a length for second. She won 3 stakes as a 2-year-old last year at Calder, Presque Isle, Delta Downs. Proud Citizen to sire 7 stakes horses already this year. Believe You Can, yet another 3-year-old filly by Proud Citizen, won the Grade 3 Tempted at Belmont last year, and the $120,000 Silver Bullet Day Stakes this year. It Happened Again, won the Grade 3 Razorback in 2011, and is placed in the 5th season stakes at Oaklawn this year. And Mark Velinsky on the Derby Trail was second by Nose in the Grade 2 Risen Star. Proud Citizen, America's bargain sire, stands for 7,500 live foal with possible breeding incentives available at Mr. and Mrs. Barrett and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Check the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Run, old Molly, run, old Molly, run. Timber's gonna beat you.
Well, we're starting the second hour of Horse Tales today, and I've got Bill Whitman with me today, and Bill manages Calumet. Don't get too far away from that mic there, Bill. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Ellis. It's kind of a tough act to follow, Michael Blowen and Dr. Byers, but it's nice to be here, and thank you very much.
Well, we've got
to
have to correct one thing right now. My daddy was Mr. Ellis. I'm a Ursel.
There you go.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Now he's saying yes, sir, to me. You make me feel old, Bill.
You're just a pup.
Boy, that's thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, he lies good.
He lies real good. Well, I was just happened to be going through the Blood Horse magazine, and saw a little ad in there. It made news when Calumet got a couple of studs over there. And you, I think it's, this one was a little ad for Icebox.
Icebox, yeah. We're really excited about being back in the breeding business. You know, we've maintained a band of broodmares there for a long time and breed all over town. But but now to be able to stand horses to the public again is a thrill. And Icebox, beautiful horse. You know, I believe that a horse ought to have 3 things to go to stud. He ought to have pedigree, he ought to have confirmation, and he ought to have a performance record. And we feel in Icebox we have all 3 of those things. And, of course, the 4th thing is the ability to pass it on. But
we'll that know, remains to be
seen. Yeah, we'll know that in 4 or 5 years. But,
right.
But yeah, he's a lovely horse. And
this is first year?
Yeah, right off the racetrack. We didn't get him till the 1st of January. Nick Zito had him. As you know, he won the Florida Derby. He was second in the
second
Kentucky
Derby.
Derby.
Yeah.
made almost $1 million and just a grand individual.
And he's by Tappet. With,
he's by Pulpit.
Oh, Pulpit,
Pulpit,
right.
And out
yeah,
of the,
right.
The good Tabasco.
Same sour line. Just
yeah, absolutely. He's out of the good Tabasco Catmare Spice Island, who was quite a race mare in her own
yeah.
right,
uh-huh.
and just sold at Keeneland in January for a lot of money. So, yeah, there's lots to talk about with Icebox, yes,
yeah,
sir.
You stand him for $7,500?
$7,500. We yeah. think he's quite a value.
Now, the other horse, there's a horse I've had my eye on for a long time. I've, back when I was used to, Jack and I used to breed and race, of course, we had to breed to the cheap horses, you know, but we bred to horses that got runners. And Cactus Ridge gets runners.
Runner after runner. If you look at my stable mail every day, and there's a horse lighting the board somewhere across the country
yeah.
constantly, and you don't see many of them at the sales because the people that breed to him are breeding to race, and
right.
and it, which is, I wish there was more of that went on in our industry now, and he is also a tremendous value at $5,000, handsome horse, fast horse, and we're real fortunate to have him as well.
That thing of his up in Canada, that can fly.
Yes,
he
absolutely.
Was a champion sprinter up there.
Yeah, 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 and by Hennessy, and then of course Reckless Jerry is still out there at Oaklawn, and they've got high hopes for him. So
yeah, he can flat get you a runner.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
yeah, absolutely.
I've been following him for a long time because
he's easy to like, isn't he?
He's easy to like.
Yeah,
absolutely. He most certainly is. Well. I don't really know what's going on out of K-Med. When I talked to you on the phone and asked you about it, the last time I had somebody on here from K-Med was Maggie Glass. And I was wondering if you were going to wear your Devil's Red and Blue
well,
silks like Maggie did.
I'm supposed to be wearing Devil Red or Green. I'm not sure which it is today, but
well,
but you've got the green on.
All right. I'll take care of the Irish if you take care of K-Med.
There
right?
you go. We're busy every day at Calumet. We average 75 to 80 horses going out to the racetrack every morning. Jose Fernandez is the resident trainer. There's about 90 mares that live at Calumet. Part of them belong to the farm and the rest of them for the public. And, of course, we breed those mares and foal them out and raise their foals. A significant part of them are bound for the racetrack and never see the sale ring. We break 85 to 100 yearlings every fall, so you know most of those are for the public. So adding the stallions in, along with the post-op operation that we have, keeps us pretty busy out there every day.
Mm-hmm. That barn out there, the training barn, that's a wonderful barn.
Well, there's an upper and a lower training barn that are the classic old Kentucky training barn. Those two barns are mirror images of each other with the back-to-back stalls and then a shed row. Mm-hmm. Surrounding them, and you know, on the really miserable days, we jog in there. But we've got a great racetrack with just a wonderful surface, with a 6-furlong racetrack, dirt course, and then a 5-furlong turf course inside of it. So we're blessed with great facilities. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Calumet is it's a grand old facility. It's the most iconic and historic property
yeah.
around. It sits on great rolling hills, beautiful barns and facilities to work with, and we're blessed to be able to go work with those great horses every day. But the reason Calumet works is because of the people, and they love what they do, and they work real hard at it. And,
good to have good staff, isn't it?
Absolutely, and
yeah.
It's just a little slice of heaven.
Now, that barn, I think, was in the Seabiscuit movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, the lower barn was.
Okay.
Yeah, the upper barn was not, but the lower barn was part of that.
Now, are they identical?
Absolutely. Mirror images of each other.
I know where there's one just like them.
Was that a Domino?
Dixieana. It was a Dixieana.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad used to manage Dixieana.
No kidding.
I don't guess
I knew that.
I walked my first hot in that barn.
Yeah. I bet you made a few miles around that shed row.
Yes, I did. And I didn't get paid very much either.
Well, but you were worth a lot more.
I don't know. My dad might not agree with that.
Well,
but
we'll just assume that that's the case.
Okay, that's an assumption.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of great horses come off that farm, of course. You know Bob Copeland.
Yes.
He's got a picture in his den, in his house in Paris, of when he was a young man. That's been a few years back, you know, and sitting on a hill gale.
Is that right?
He rode hill gale. He was out there. He used to, when he was
no kidding.
When he was going to Ohio State to vet school, he would come down here and get and help out of KMF. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to see that picture. I bet that's wonderful.
Well, you know,
yeah.
Bob.
Oh, yeah.
He'd tickle to death to show it to you.
He's been very kind to me and always very encouraging for, you know, an Okie cowboy that came back here to stay in this business and work.
Is that where you're from, Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Okay. We had an
but he's a great guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We you had some horses from Matt Howard, didn't you? The Gentry brothers.
Oh, sure.
Here?
Yeah. Yeah. We break horses for them. But I knew Mr. Gentry for a long time out west before I came back here.
Yeah, they raise a lot of quarter horses.
Yes, they do, sir.
They still they've
and
got
some fast ones.
Yeah. They still got them.
Yes, they do.
And they train Matt Frazier trains here. You know,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got a bunch of.
But I do
horses.
Break horses for those fellas. You bet.
Yeah. Do you break quarter horses out there, too?
No, I haven't had any.
Well, you'll have to be getting some.
Well, I'll be all right. That's okay. Yeah, I grew up on them.
We had, we're getting so many here, as a matter of fact, we had to put up a pole from the gate for an eighth of a mile, you know.
Oh, sure.
It's right directly across from us over there. See, the tractor's coming up on it. It's an eighth of a mile when the gate's open.
The tractor hit it just now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you bet.
That's... Matt Frazier wanted that, and he went to Hialeah last year.
Oh, for the quarter horse meet?
Yeah, and won several stakes out there.
Great.
He got a big, really nice filly named Fritaville.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, but that's a long way from KMH. Y'all don't have quarter horses out there.
Just the ones I ride every day.
Oh, you got them for lead ponies?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Let me take a little break here, and I get back to you. I'm talking to Bill Whitman from KMH. Got to catch up on my commercials, pay the bills. You want a Coke, Bill?
No, I'm fine. Thanks. I'm just enjoying it.
How about a donut?
No, those are yours. I'm going to fix that cold.
Well, the number one ranked sire in North America is Tappet, a son of the Claiborne Sire Puppet. One of Tappet's most successful sons, Trapshot, staying his first season of stud this year, stands at Claiborne Farm. Trapshot won over $703,000 in two seasons, taking home the winner's share of the purse in six of his 12 starts. He won the Grade 2 True North Handicap, getting the six furlongs of 108.4 to score by 8.5 lengths. Spending six furlongs and 109 to take the Waldoboro Stakes. Won the Long Branch Stakes around two turns. Got seven furlongs and 122 at Belmont Park. Won an allowance test at Gulfstream by 12. Broke his maiden at Gulfstream by 10. Lost a nose decision in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt, and he was a game second to Looking at Lucky in the Grade 1 Haskell. Trapshot was a runner. He's by a leading sire. He's a half-brother to a Grade 1 stakes winner millionaire. That's Miss Shot from a superior female family. Stands for $10,000, due in the full stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornfarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, had been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, in racing last Saturday, the Grade 2 San Felipe was won by Creative Cause, a three-year-old colt by Giants Causeway. At Tampa Bay, the $100,000 Suncoast Stakes was won by Wait Till Dawn, a three-year-old filly by Giants Causeway. Back at Santa Anita, Lady of Shamrock, a three-year-old filly by Scat Daddy, won the China Doll Stakes. And the Spring Stakes at Sam Houston was won by Slam It, a three-year-old colt by Grand Slam. Creative Cause, a Grade 1 stakes winner, is one of the favorites for the Kentucky Derby. Wait Till Dawn is the fifth 2012 stakes winner by Giants Causeway. Lady of Shamrock, placed in this year's Grade 3 Santa Isabel Stakes. She's one of 12 stakes horses, six stakes winners from the first crop by Scat Daddy, nation's leading freshman sire last year. Slam It won his previous start at Oaklawn, shipped in to take the Spring Stakes. Grand Slam is also the sire of the 2012 stakes winner's Million Reasons Why and the Lumber Guy. And of 72 stakes winners to date, he was the only sire among the top 20 in 2011 to stand for a fee of less than $15,000. He stands for $12,000 doing a full stanza nurses, champion sire Giants Causeway, champion sire Scat Daddy, leading sire Grand Slam. Stand at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Leading sire's potential leading sire's only at Coolmore.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that...
Talking to Bill Whitman, who's a manager over at Calumet. You say, Bill, you're from Oklahoma?
Spent the biggest part of my life in Oklahoma, yes, sir.
Your family in the horse business down there?
No, no, my family couldn't spell horse.
Well, then, how come you can? How about come you got into it?
I don't know what happens to us when we're kids and we're smitten with horses, and you just... You just find that you can't deny it. You need to find a way to make a living with them, and that's what happened.
Yeah. Well, what did you were a kid? Well, how did you get into
show
it?
Horses, and then
okay,
and then
show
quarter horses.
Quarter horses,
and then went to left after I graduated from high school, and went to Oklahoma to go to Oklahoma State University, and got my education there in animal science, after graduation, you know, it was either Vietnam or go cowboying for a while, and so...
I'd go cowboy.
I did. And it didn't take me very long, about as long as it took you to figure that out.
Oh, I jumped on that right now.
it was a kind of a evolution process, and wound up in Kentucky.
Well, what did you do cowboying?
Punch cows.
Punch cows?
Yeah.
Really?
On the High Plains. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My wife was teaching school, and I was cowboying.
We don't have a whole lot around here. I need a
definition. Oh, no. I was on the High Plains, Oklahoma Panhandle, western Kansas, feed yards and ranches. And I found out after a few years that it's pretty hard to send your kids to college and all those things on cowboy's wage. So I got a chance to build a horse ranch in Oklahoma, South Oklahoma City.
Okay.
And with some partners, and went down there and did that. And after several years of that...
Did you race quarter horses?
Yeah, they were running quarter horses.
Oh, were they?
And then moved to the Lazy E at Guthrie, which was Mr. Gaylord's ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kept all of his mares here, in his thoroughbred mares in Lexington at Lane's Inn. So I used to come over here and look at the horses and take the weanlings home and raise them in Oklahoma and then bring them back and sell them in July and September here at Keeneland. Then he came over here one day and bought what was then Stonewall Farm, which he renamed Gallardia, and we rebuilt.
Stonewall Farm.
And it's the farm on Midway Road, which is now renamed Stonewall Farm.
Right. I don't know who's got that now.
Well, it used to belong... We bought it from the Kitchens,
Which guy, Edgar?
Was that his name?
I don't know.
They've been in their family for many, many years. And it's right
next, well, I know exactly
next
where it
to
is.
Lane's Inn.
Yeah.
And we operated that for a couple of years, and then Mr. Gaylord's dad died, and they got out of the business for a while, and so I went and did a few things for myself. And one day Calumet called and said, "We're interviewing. Would you like to come over?" And... That's kind of the nickel tour.
That's the nickel, okay. How long have you been in Calumet now?
7.5 years.
Oh, has it been that long?
Yeah.
Boy, it doesn't seem like it. You know that...
Time flies when you're having fun.
That's the Fitkowski's family, isn't it?
Yes, it's owned by his trust.
Yeah.
And that trust was set up and in place before he died. And
Now, these are his children that own it?
I work for a... board of directors and a board of trustees and 6 beneficiaries.
Uh-huh.
And the beneficiaries live all over, his children live all over the world.
Uh-huh. Well, none of them live there?
No.
Is that right? Do they come in and visit or anything?
One daughter comes and visits sporadically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Boy, there have been some, the graveyard I haven't been over in a long time, but
You go up fabulous. There on an afternoon like this, it'll make the hair stand up on your neck as you walk around there.
It didn't have to be my neck.
Well, okay. Well, moving right along. Yeah.
I know some great horses.
Yeah, and to think all those horses before they went to that cemetery galloped on that same racetrack that we use every morning.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, when I leave the house in the morning at 4:30, and you know, you just stop and you have to pause and it's great because it's dark and it's quiet, and you just stop for a moment and you think about where you are and what it means. And what it, you know, Calumet is owned by a trust, but it's really owned by the people of Lexington and the people of Kentucky and the thoroughbred community.
Yeah.
And it's very much an iconic property, and it's a very important piece of thoroughbred history.
Yeah. Did you know Maggie? Did you ever?
No, I never knew her.
Never opportunity knew her. To meet.
No.
Well, she was something else. She was a nice lady.
Absolutely. That's yeah. all I've ever heard.
You're tough as nails.
That's right. There wasn't any getting by Maggie.
No. So I tried back. I used to be with her daily racing form. I tried to get him to advertise with the racing form. I couldn't shake him loose for a nickel. Maggie was guarded every dime. Boy, yeah. let me tell you. Did you bring that book, Jackie?
She was
no,
a great one.
I was going to ask you. Oh, if you brought it. We'll send it to you.
We've got a book that's signed by Admiral Markey.
Oh, is that right?
A novel that you that,
no
that
kidding
he wrote. Yeah,
and I knew he fashioned himself a screenwriter and an author, didn't he? Yeah. I've never seen any of his work.
We'll get the book.
Oh, I'd love to see it.
We'll get it to you.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, you all ought to have it.
Well, thank you. Yeah,
but
that's great.
I think Michael Blowen came up. He comes up with these kind of things all the time.
He has got he is a great innovator.
He's unbelievable what he's done over that with that.
Yeah,
program.
Absolutely. Not only for what he's done for the horses, but he does a great job of heightening the awareness of the thoroughbred industry to the general public.
Absolutely.
And you know, so much of the time we spend our time preaching to the choir. We talk to each other about what's wrong, but we don't get the public involved, and he does.
Yeah.
He does a wonderful job.
Yeah. Getting back to that graveyard, is Whirlaway Bird there?
Yes, he is.
Did they send him back from France? Because he ended up in France.
The story is that Miss Markey insisted that the head and the heart be sent back and buried there on the farm.
Yeah.
So they're, as far as I know.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
He was, he sired a few things, but not a whole lot.
Yeah, a lot of that blood's gone now.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's amazing because Bull Lee was such a...
Oh, had a tremendous impact.
He really did.
Talk about First World.
Oh, yeah. I've got a picture at home of a wind picture of a horse named First Whirl.
Well, tell me about that.
And he was the first foal by Whirlaway.
No kidding.
And they wanted a test mare over at Calumet.
Right.
And so Dad, who was managing, he said, well, we've got a mare. And I think they bred her in like November or October or November or something like that. And she got in foal.
Great.
And had the foal. And they charged him for the stud feet. what did we talk about, Maggie?
Well, we got to pay the bills, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
We got to keep those lights on.
But I've got a picture of him winning a race at, I believe it was at Old Washington Park, which is now Caput in Houma. Steve Brooks rode him.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it's but. He was.
So did they wait till he was three to race him?
Yeah, they had to.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Or he might have been four.
He might have been four.
Yeah, Jack Hodgins was the trainer then, I'm pretty sure. No, it might have preceded Jack. That might... I guess Jack Hodgins was training for Dick Sand at that time. But it wasn't a very good-looking horse. I'm looking at him in a picture.
Did he have a long tail?
No, he didn't. But he had sickle hocks, I'll tell you that.
Well, did you have anything good to say about... Well, yeah, you did.
He won. Damn right. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm pretty sure it was at Washington. It was either Washington or Arlington. I look at that picture all the time. You know, I mean, it's standing right there in front of me. I can't miss it.
Sure.
It's by my fax machine. Whenever I'm standing there sending a fax, there it is, you know.
That's
I know,
a great story.
Yeah, well, he's... I bred over there. I sent a mare to Tim Tam.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I sent a mare to Sun Again.
Oh, yeah.
When he was standing there.
I'd forgotten about him.
Oh, he was a nice horse.
It's interesting because when you go through the stallion barn, there are a lot of halter plates on stall doors with, you know, those horses stood in those stalls. But his isn't there.
Well, he was stood for $1,000.
I'll be done.
Sired a champion sprinter. The Knuckles boys bred a horse named, was it White Skies? I'm having one of those senior moments.
Be glad you're having them.
Yeah, right. it's getting to be almost a permanent scene moment, I'm afraid.
It's okay.
But anyway, I believe it was White Scott, but he was by
champion Sonny. Sprinter.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. He was a poor can't man's horse, $1,000 horse, and I bred to him. And Tim Tam was a little bit more money than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I got to see.
He was a little bit more horse than that.
Yes, he was too. Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm on this show. I review racing from back then. I'm all the way up to 1958.
Good.
And the champion three-year-old in 1958, of course, was Tim Tam. And I've got notes. You know, I'm trying to get to it today.
Didn't he just miss winning the Belmont?
He broke down and
cracked an ankle right before the war.
Right, a horse named Cavan beat him.
That's right.
Imported horse. He was by Mossburg.
Yeah.
They went to stud over at Stallion Station when Lou Daugherty had it over there. Oh. Cavan. And of course, then Tim Tam went right to stud over at Calumet.
Sure.
I'm trying to think of, they had a real nice horse over there, but Turn 2, who was at Calumet. Was
Best Turn.
Best Turn. Now, that horse had to be 17-1.
Really?
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, you walked up to the stall, and you looked up, you know, I mean, he was a monster.
I'll be darned.
A big, big horse. Yeah, he was a good-looking horse, and it was a good sire.
Yeah, he was a nice
horse. Yeah. Well, Bill, I'll let you go.
It's been my pleasure to get to come do this.
Well, I'm glad I got to meet you. I'm glad I looked at that ad.
I am, too. And when you have time, you need to come out and see me.
I'm going to do it.
I'd love to have
you. I'd love to come out and look at that graveyard again.
Well, let's do it.
All right.
We'll just make it a point.
Bring that book.
Yeah, I'll bring that book to you.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Bill.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Well, every year the Thoroughbred Times ask a panel of experts to name their top five picks for who they think will be next year's leading freshman sire. This year, both Kenny McPeak and Ann Peters named First Defense among their selections. And one of the nation's leading trainers, Kenny, selected a number of prospects at auction that have gone on to become Superior Stakes winners, including champion Curlin. Ms. Peters, a freelance bloodstock consultant who earlier served as matings advisor at Three Chimneys, has the distinction of having selected last year's leading freshman sire. Now, both like the fact that First Defense had brilliant speed, grade one speed, that his female family has already produced successful sires. And Kenny also likes the first crop yearlings that he inspected at sales last year. As a reminder, First Defense won grade one stakes, was one of the fastest runners of his age. He's by Unbridled Song out of grade one stakes when Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slough to the outstanding sires Empire Maker and Chester House. Stands at Judmont Farm for 7,500 live foal. Home also of grade one sire Mizzen Mass. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com. Well, prospective winner last Saturday, the grade two Tampa Bay Derby, was raised on Macaulay products over at Spendthrift Farm. Prospective is just one of nine of the leading contenders for the Kentucky Derby to be raised by clients of Macaulay Brothers. Spendthrift Farm is also the breeder of Who Is Camille. Winner last weekend of the Philly Division of the OBS Sprint. And Andrew's Girl, winner of the Philly Division of the OBS Championship, was raised by Stonewall Stallions. Congratulations to all. The grade two score by Perspective is just the most recent in an ever-growing list of graded stakes wins by horses raised by associates of Macaulay Brothers. They're well on their way to surpassing the 2011 record of 110 graded stakes wins. And, of course, among those winners, of those 110 graded stakes were 25 individual grade one stakes winners. Horses raised on Macaulay products are winning major races the world over. Join the winning team. Call Mike Warren or Dave Longmire at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCall Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, Jim Fitzgerald over at Knott Griffin Farm, he's got that farm for sale, by the way, and it's a wonderful place. And he's got another farm that's just as nice as he's fixed up, Harper's Island. Jim has he's buys property, fixes it up, and sells it, does like he does everything.
Yeah, you know, laying it out just right.
Lays it out really nice. It's a really nice place. And of course, Jim's a first-class horseman, knows what horsemen want. Might go take a look at that place. Tom Beatham has got it listed. And it's called Knott Griffin Farm, and it's just a mile off the bypass on 460, which is the Paris-Georgetown Road. And anyway, Jim can take care of you for whatever you want in the thoroughbred business, boarding, sales prep, sales, public, private, doesn't make any difference, rehab. You've got quality farm help and give you some good, sound, common sense advice if you're thinking about getting into the horse business. It's Jim Fitzgerald, Knott Griffin Farm, KnockGriffinFarm.com. That's his website. Phone number is 987-8032. Right, Jackie.
Okay.
You want to, yeah, you go on, continue.
Okay, sure. April 14th.
I'll eat a donut.
Which is Bluegrass Steaks Day.
If Ressie's left any.
Yeah, I bought a bunch. It's a Bluegrass Equine Benefit for Multiple Sclerosis because Karen McLaughlin's got it. And it's going to be after the Bluegrass Steaks out at Keeneland. They're going to have it at the club at Spindletop. It's $100 a person. Now, they would like for you to get reservations because they'd like to know how many people are going to come. So, if you're in the car and you can't write this down, 294-7060, you can probably call Spindletop, and I'm sure they can tell you who to get a hold of or whatever to make reservations. Because, you know, when you're riding around, it's hard to remember that. April 14th, Bluegrass Day, that's pretty good. They have some sponsors, including two of our sponsors, Shadwell and Darley. Oh, Darley's not.
No.
Oh, Darley's not. But Shadwell is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. All right, TOBA, 2012 Seminars and Clinics. May the 3rd at the Derby Museum will be an ownership seminar, June the 1st through the 3rd. Here in Lexington will be a breeding clinic, and there's another one, Pedigree Confirmation, in the fall that will be here in October. If you're interested, you can go to toba.org, or I'll give you another one of these phone numbers, 276-2291, or Google it. Check out the website. We're going to have a new video up today of Michael Blowen. He was funny today, he and Dr. Byers. And this was done by Lexington Computer Clinic. They're terrific. Low-price computer repairs, sales, and service. It really is amazing. For me, the best part was you can go put your little laptop on their counter, and they will give you lessons in how to do it yourself, so you don't have to although I keep messing up. But it's only $20 for a half hour to stand there and get a computer lesson on how to do something. Now, how terrific is that? And, of course, they're teaching me about how to take care of the website. And they're great. They're out at Hamburg in Myers Building, down where it says U.S. Bank, going that way. Their number's 263-7374. Next membership meeting for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers is next Wednesday, March 21st, at the Red Mile. The guest speaker is Dr. Martin Adams. He's going to talk about preventing developmental orthopedic disease. And it's about feeding the horse the right way. Not overfeed them. Used to feed them too much. They used to have foal creeps where the mare couldn't get to the feed and the foal would go in there and stuff their little faces. And they got pithecitis all over the place. So, going to take care of that. Today, right now, going on all day, is Fayette County Farm Bureau Farm Equipment Consignment Auction at the horse park in the main entrance. It's $5 parking fees. All you have to pay, all kind of farm equipment, lawn and garden equipment, no junk. And one of the auctioneers is our buddy Tom Biederman with Walt Robertson and Ryan Mahan. So.
Buddies, too.
Huh?
I know they're good friends, too.
Absolutely. Now, today is March the 17th. Ah, yes, St. Patty's Day. There is Julie Congleton has dressage clinics where you can go give her $5, $10, whatever it is, and hand her a dressage test, and you can do it. And then she will critique it for you, which is great practice. And normally, this one in March is called Snowbird Dressage. You couldn't find Snowball with a search warrant. But anyway, that's today. The horse, the exhibit is going on. Also, like I just said, Fayette County Farm Bureau and Bluegrass Trust Antiques and Garden Show is going on. Now, they've had huge crowds out there. I saw them from the interstate when I was coming back from Midway yesterday or whenever it was. That's a big deal. So there. Next week, indoor polo, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Next weekend, Mid-South Pony Club Mount of Games Rally. And the 31st is the Paul Frazier Memorial Combined Test and Dressage Show, and that usually is a signal for spring. So, and farm managers looking for new members, if you got anybody you want to send out there to, Horse Park's going to have a statewide horse grooming contest March the 31st. They're going to have hundreds of kids out there, or anybody, junior and senior divisions, grooming all those fuzzy, dirty horses out the horse park. They're going to get them all clean because they're going to give somebody a prize for doing it. Why didn't I think of that? That's the best thing I ever heard. So that's the 31st. Of course, they've got their new interactive exhibits for kids. It's in the old draft horse barn, and if you've got, it's hands-on. Little kids can, they don't want to go out and sit and look at horses. They want to pet them and stuff, so this is all set up for them. High Hopes coming up May 20th. Jessica Oldham Stith is the executive director now, and they are always looking for volunteers. So give her a call, 9679-444. Ooh, Haggard's, as of yesterday or day before, had 6 pints of colostrum or something, and that's all there is. So they really, the vet hospitals are hurting for colostrum. So, Race for Education, there's not much left. There's one that's HBPA scholarship. The deadline's April 15th. And another one or two deadline up in the summer. So you need, if you're interested in doing this, 252-8648. They're out on Versailles Road. It's raceforeducation.org. I believe Masterson Indoor is still open on Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. If the weather gets bad, I can't imagine anybody riding inside on a day like this, except the footing stinks. Give Georgia a call, 253-0328. Now, the free gelding was last week. I wonder how many. Oh, Sally Van Lines. Great. They're the best people. They've done so much to help. Whenever there's an emergency or something, they're there. And here's a minor emergency. If your trailer needs fixing, I had a friend who had fenders repaired, rubber mat replaced, brakes checked, bearings packed, and blah, blah, blah. And Sally Van. Of course, they would know how to fix a trailer, for crying out loud. They're in the business. That's smart. So give them a call. Just call Sally. This guy's name's Ben Eversoll. Call Sally's and ask for Ben Eversoll. And they'll put you right through to him. And what did I hear? Did I hear a dove out there?
No, there's turkeys next door.
There's turkeys next door.
Yeah.
That's a gobble, gobble,
real,
gobble.
Real turkeys, not people,
Yeah, right. Well, there's that, too.
Right. Well, there are a couple of them around, too. They've been gobbling all morning. I don't know what to...
There's a rooster over there, too. You hear him crowing every so often. But
yeah, chasing hens around. All righty. Well, let me do a commercial, and I'll come back, and I've got something up to take care of for my good friend David Schweitzer. A Gypsy Robin, a 3-year-old filly by the hair, broke her maiden in her first start, running in record time at Keeneland, won by 7.5 lengths. Sent over to England, she was beaten just 3.5 lengths in the Group 2 Queen Mary Stakes. Then it was back to this country and for a fourth in the Grade 3 Skylaville, and that's the Saratoga course, and a win in the $100,000 Sorority Stakes at Monmouth. That was her last start at 2, But she's back on the work tab with trainer Wesley Ward down at Gulfstream Park. So watch for her in the future. Now, Gypsy Robin's just one of five named foals from the first test crop by DeHare. One other started and has recorded a second at the fairgrounds, a third at Delaware. DeHare has been put to the test. He's demonstrated his ability to sire runners. He was a runner himself, a grade one stakes winner with brilliant speed. He's by the top sire awesome again out of the stakes winner Irish Cherry. Them also the multiple grade one stakes winner Spun Sugar, and that's a full sister to DeHare. DeHare stands for 7,500 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes. See the website at shadwellfarm.com. Got a friend that trains out here, Mort Shirazi. Had a winner just the other day, as a matter of fact. And he trains, he's a pretty high percentage trainer. In the money, he does extremely well. He's in the money this year, I think, about 65% of the times, 1, 2, 3, 4. And that's pretty high. And, of course, Mort is a native of India, family involved in racing over there for over 100 years. He's over here. He used to ride races, although you wouldn't know it now. Big guy, but he was tall and skinny back then. Graduated from UK, is well-educated. He spent 10 years as with Swifty Farms up in Indiana. He's managed that facility up there. And he's also spent time as bloodstock agent for Lane's Inn. I met him when over here at Pace and Stud. He operates a bloodstock agency now at Shirazi Bloodstock. That's Shirazi Bloodstock. That's based over in Paris. Does, you know, what everything that bloodstock agents do, seasons, shares, does appraisals, sales. Does a good job of it. He's a good horseman. And he specializes in working with problem horses. And I tell you what, with 17% win percentage, that's, and fooling around with horses with problems, and 65% in the money this year, that's, you know, he's fooling with horses that come to him with problems, and he's hitting the board with them. So he's an experienced trainer, and he wants to try to upgrade his racing stable a little bit, and how you can get in touch with him. He'll race anywhere, incidentally. He'll go to New York, or if you want a horse to race up there, he'll run them anywhere. His website is broncbusters.com. That's broncbusters.com. And he got that nickname from breaking bad horses. Glutton for punishment. That's Mort Shirazi at broncbusters.com. Nice guy, too. Well, March 10th at Oaklawn, the Grade 3 $125,000 Razorback Handicap was won by front-running Alternation, a four-year-old colt by Distorted Humor, bred by Pin Oak Stud. Alternation was coming off a win in the Essex Handicap, also at Oaklawn. He won the Grade 2 Peter Pan at Belmont last year. Scarcely a week goes by without a Distorted Humor winning a major race somewhere, and that's why, according to statistics published by the Blood Horse magazine, he was the number one ranked sire in North America last year. And why his 2011 sales yearlings sold for an average of over $236,000. Distorted Humor has sired the winners of all three Triple Crown races, and one of them, Drosselmeyer, won the Classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, won a place in five other stakes for earnings of over $3,728,000. And he's the leading money winner by Distorted Humor, and he's out of a multiple grade one stakes when he stands for $17,500 due when the foal stands and nurses at Windstar Farm. That's home also of his great sire, of course, Distorted Humor. There's a 5% discount if the fee is paid by November 1. For more information, get in touch with Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett, 873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com.
Run that bonnet one more time. Tell me how you never cheat on me. Tell me that you always will be true.
All righty. Well, every week, my good friend David Schweitzer over at Kentucky Thoroughbred Association wants me to announce the breeders of Kentucky breds that won stakes on the previous week. So that's what I'm going to do. The Tampa Bay Derby, grade two, winner was Perspective. He's a Malibu Moon, incidentally. He was bred by Spendthrift Farm. And this is a nice horse. He won Great Stakes up in Canada, which is where his trainer, Mark Cassie, trains usually. He was a two-year-old last year, and he's won two straight stakes. He's won two stakes down at Tampa Bay now, including the Tampa Bay Derby Grade 2, so he's on the Derby trail. The San Felipe Stakes Grade 2 winner was Creative Cause. He's my Derby horse, three-year-old colt by Giants Causeway. Of course, he was a Grade 1 Stakes winner as a two-year-old last year, won the Norfolk Stakes, and placed in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, Grade 1, of course. And he was bred by James Weigel, W-E-I-G-E-L, Weigel. I guess that's the way you pronounce it. I probably screwed it up. The Swale Stakes, Grade 3 at Gulfstream, went to Trinneberg. And Trinneberg was bred by the J.M. Stables. The Palm Beach Stakes, that's a Grade 3 race. He was bred by my friend Barry Irwin. Team Valor International, of course, that is Barry. They races for them, and he also won the Kitten's Choice Stakes down in Gulfstream this year. Let's see, the Honeybee Stakes, Grade 3, at Oaklawn Park. On Fire Baby won that. Was bred by Anita Cawley. Alternation won the Razorback, Grade 3, at Oaklawn Park. He's by Distorted Humor and was bred by Pin Oak Stud. Pin Oak also races him. His horse wins $480,000 now. He's a nice kind of a racehorse. What did he win last year? Oh, he won a Peter Pan. And let's see, what else do we have? The Fred Cappy Capicella Stakes winner, Hardin Wildcat, was bred by New Farm. The Black Gold Stakes down at the fairgrounds. The winner there, Icon Ike, was bred by Fletcher and Carolyn Gray. The Alan Lacombe Memorial Stakes at the fairgrounds, the winner there was Ms. Ida, bred by Bert Richard and Elaine Klein. That's a filly by Proud Citizen. He's having a real good year. There's a Proud Citizen ran third in that race for Zetkos. The China Doll Stakes at Santa Anita went to Lady of Shamrock. Three-year-old colt he's from the first crop by Scat Daddy, bred by Grovendale Farms. And let's see, what else do we have? Yeah, it's James Keel, Grovendale. The Suncoast Stakes down at Tampa Bay. Wait Till Dawn won that. That's another Giants Causeway. This one bred by Chelston. And let's see, is that it? Nope. The Spring Chrysler Jeep Dodge Stakes at Sam Houston. Slam It won that. He's by Grand Slam. He's having a good year. Let's see. That's one, two. That's four stakes won his farm this year. That's pretty good, huh? But Grand Slam stands over at Ashford Stud. How many stakes winners has that horse got now? 71 the last count. 72. 72 stakes winners. Over at The Emirates UAE Grade 1, or Group 1, I don't know, the Jebel Hatta Stakes. Went to Master of Hounds, bred by the Silk and Scarlet Syndicate. So that's, what's the pot on that thing? It's a Grade 1, $300,000. And that's a King Mumbo. All righty, what much time have I got right now? Got time to do a commercial or two and then come back and do something else? Do Tim Tam. Anyway, another Grade 1 winner and classic contender, Malibu Moon's off to yet another outstanding year at stud. On March 1, Eden's Moon, a 3-0 filly by Malibu Moon, won the Grade 1 Las Virgines Stakes, that's at Santa Anita. Then, on March 10th, Perspective, a 3-0 colt by Malibu Moon, bred by B. Wayne Hughes, stamped his ticket to the Kentucky Derby by winning the Grade 2 $350,000 Tampa Bay Derby. Now, those are the type of performances which have moved Malibu Moon to elite status in the North American Sallies. Now, remember that when you see a Malibu Moon walking to the sales arena. Another sire off to a fine start this year is Lionheart, the sire of undefeated Agave Kiss, winner last Saturday of the Grade 3 Cicada Stakes at Aqueduct. Lionheart's also the sire of Grade 1 Stakes winner Line of David, whose first foals arriving this year. And Line of David won the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby in his first try on the dirt. After winning twice on the grass out at Santa Anita, beat a cracked field in the Arkansas Derby, Super Saver, Dublin, finished second and third. And he descends from the same female family that's already given us the champion sire, Mr. Prospector. He stands at Spinthrift Farm for 7,500 live foal. Get in touch with Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Fell and Ed Toffey. Number over at Spinthrift, 294-0030. See the website at SpinthriftFarm.com.
This spring, make some money at the races. Turf Catering is now hiring servers, cashiers, cooks, and other positions for the Keeneland Spring Meet. For an immediate interview, attend the Turf Catering Job Fair on Tuesday, March 20th from 1 to 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center at the Man of War and Versailles Road entrance across from the airport. For more information, call Turf Catering at 253-0541. Attend the Turf Catering Job Fair Tuesday, March 20th from 1 to 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center.
All right, I want to talk about the Equine Savings Program. It's Equine Savings is a new sponsor here. Steve Anderson, a friend of mine, lives over in Georgetown, but he set up a new business. He's doing a lot to help the horse business as far as that goes. Now, Equine Savings is program is easy to use, and it'll save you up to 28% off commercial mowing equipment from industry leaders like Toro and Exmark. They've got other things, you know, that you can save money on. And 28%, that's a pretty good discount. And not only that, but Steve will, part of the money that he makes out of this will goes toward the KTA and Toba to help promote the business. And he's helped out people like the old friends. You heard Michael Blowen talking about him. Donated one of those Toros. And that's a great thing to do, a nice thing to do for Steve and the people over at Toro and Exmark. All you have to do, it doesn't cost you anything to join the program. Just give them a call, and it's Equine Savings. I'll give you the number. Here's a 877 number, 905-0004, to learn more about it. And if you visit your local Toro and Exmark dealer, you will find a simple pricing program, just one price for everybody, no hitches, no coupons, no hassles, just the best mowers at the best prices. About that time of year, too, I've got to think about mowing my place. Equine Savings offers these products to all breeds and disciplines. So if you're in the horse business, they want to hear from you. Now, Equine Savings also offers substantial discounts to a wide variety of quality products, like Farm Paint and Abico, Frank Shoup Auto Dealerships, Commonwealth Technology, Office Depot, SAS Global. That Abico is a pest control program. It's unbelievable. Equine Savings, it's locally owned. That's Steve Anderson. Gives back to the industry. And they'll deliver you the best value for your hard-earned dollar, believe me. And here is their website. It's equinesavings.com. Even I can remember that. Equinesavings.com. Or if you want to call them over in Georgetown, that's a 502 area code over there. 863-6000. Equinesavings.com. All right, I've got about 6 minutes. I think I can talk about Tim Tam in 6 minutes. He was a champion three-year-old colt in 1958 by Tom Fool out of Tule, a great race mare by Bull Lee, bred and owned by Calumet Farm. Jimmy Jones trained him. Tule, of course, was by Bull Lee. She's foaled in 1946. She's out of Tubob by the Porter. Bred and owned by Calumet. Jimmy Jones trained her, too. She was a champion three-year-old and came back as a six-year-old and was champion as a six-year-old handicap mare. Ran 26 times, won 15 races, was 24 times in the money. Three-year-old, she won the Princess Doreen and the Cleopatra and the Artful. She ran second to No Strings in the Modesty. No Strings was, she was the dam of a real nice two-year-old named Nail. Once stood over at Henry White's farm. At four, she started only five times. I'm talking about Tule now, the dam of Tim Tam. Won the Santa Margarita, ran second to Stablemate Ponder in the Santa Anita Maturity. Ran third to Noor and Citation in the Santa Anita Handicap. Set all the pace, just got beat two lengths for all the money. Did not race as a five-year-old in 1951, but she brought her back in 52. She won the Vanity, beating Wistful, another stablemate of Calumet. She had finished in a dead heat with Princess Elijah in the Ramona Handicap. Won the Hollywood Gold Cup over Cyclotron, who, if I'm not mistaken, is by Pensieve, who stood at Calumet. And she won a couple of stakes over at Bay Meadows, the San Mateo Handicap, with Wistful third, and the Children's Hospital Handicap, beating Colts. Ran second to Agleem, another stablemate at Calumet, in the Milady Handicap, and in the last start, she ran second to Moonrush, giving him 11 pounds in the Bay Meadows Handicap. Now, Tim Tam made only himself, only made only one start as a two-year-old. Ran fourth over at Garden State in the fall. Broke his maiden his first start at three, allowance race at Hialeah. Then won another allowance race 5 days later. January the 28th, he ran third to Kentucky Pride, was the son of Bull Lee, racing for Calumet. That time they thought he was going to be the Derby horse. He turned out to be Windy. Had a breathing problem. Yeeman was second. February the 5th, he ran third to Olympia and Kentucky Pride. Got beat a length in that, a half length for all the money. That was in the Bahama Stakes at Hialeah. On February the 15th, he won the 9-furlong Everglades by a length and a half, beating Kentucky Pride. He run five times in 29 days. 13 days later, they gave him a little rest there. He finished second, got beat ahead by Jules Reward. He was by Jet Joel in the Flamingo, but was moved up to first because Jules Reward had interfered with him during the stretch run. March 19th, he won the mile and the 16th Fountain of Youth, the Gulfstream, by two lengths, beating Gray Monarch and a little fella by Nergal. 10 days later, he won the Florida Derby by half length, beating Lincoln Road. Now, Lincoln Road was a son of With Pleasure, fast horse, and he had the lead going inside the 16th pole, and he jumped, ducked a shatter near in the wire, and Tim Tam nailed him. Sent Tim Tam up to Keeneland. He spent it 7 furlongs, 1:22-1. Bill Hartack rode him. He beat Nadir in Hillsdale. That was on April 18th. On April the 29th, he won the Derby trial in the slop. That was the Tuesday before the Derby. Then he won the Derby. Ishmael Valenzuela was up. Won by half a length, beat Lincoln Road. It was in the mud. Noor Eden ran third. Won the Preakness by a length and a half from Lincoln Road again, who was still eligible for 9 winners of 2, by the way. Gone Fishing ran third. Final start was a Belmont. He got beat 6 lengths by Cavan, imported son of Mossborough. He broke down during the stretch. Swerved during the running, and that was his last start. Went to stud. He was a bit of a disappointment. He sired some stakes winners, 14 or 15 of them. Best thing he got was Tosma, who was a champion 3-year-old filly. She won 14 stakes, beats Colts in Arlington Futurity. Sonny Tim was by Tim Tam. Timmy Ladd over in France. And he was, however, an excellent broodmare sire. His daughters produced Devona Dale, who was a champion 3-year-old filly, won the Kentucky Oaks, Coaching Club American Oaks, and Acorn, and the Mother Goose. Boy, that's a sweep. Won the Mac Diomeda. He was a champion grass horse. He sired Known Fact, 2,000 guineas winner, went to stud over Judmont Farm. Something happened to that horse. They had to put him down fairly early. I think he was pretty well crippled up. Looked like he was going to be a top sire. Before Dawn was a champion on 2-year-old filly by Tim Tam. Life's Hope. I'm out of a Tim Tam mare. These are all out of Tim Tam mares. Life's Hope. Vertee. Princess Eboli. His daughters produced 75 stakes winners, so he turned out to be an excellent broodmare sire. So that's the story of Tim Tam, champion 3-year-old in 1958. Trainers at the Thoroughbred Center on a roll. Since the last week's show, they've saddled 14 winners. Let's see, who saddled those winners? Adolfo Marcias, Mort Shirazi, John Paul Puchek, Steve Casey, Tracy Young, Alan Krupper, Brian Kane, Brian Michael, John Langemeyer, Brian Kane again, John Langemeyer again, Tommy Skinner, and Brian Michael again. All right, that music means it's time for us to spit out the bit.
And this will be up on UrsulaEllis.com, hopefully, if I don't mess it up.
She's nine. She's 8 to 5 to mess it up.
8 to 5 to mess it up.
All right, we'll give it a try. Thanks for listening. Hey, Jake, you did a great job down at the studio. I really appreciate it. And, of course, Resty's always good here. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you all next week.